Welcome back to this episode of Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama. Today, we're going to talk about Tigers for Tomorrow at Untamed Mountain, an exotic animal preserve near Atala. And joining us today is Sue Steffens, the founder of the preserve. Thank you so much for being with us today, Sue.
Well, thank you for asking us to be on, Malia. We are very excited about it and can't wait to tell everybody all about everything that is happening up here at the preserve.
Yes, and I can't wait to hear about it. So before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at the preserve.
Oh, goodness, my role at the preserve. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself first.
Okay.
I am the founder of Tigers for Tomorrow. We will be 25 years old next year.
Oh, wow.
And we were originally founded as just a big cat preserve. Over the years, mm-hmm. we have developed into a predatory preserve with emphasis on predators. However, we do open our hearts to a lot of farm animals, other small mammals. And at this point, actually, we have 29 rescue equines also. So we've grown into a full-scale animal preserve, and we like to think of ourselves as being our community's outdoor environmental education center.
Okay.
The facility at this time is probably home to about 175 animals, which is huge.
Wow.
We moved to Alabama 18 years ago with just 30 animals. And I had actually no plans of it being this successful. We actually moved to this area after looking in four other states because we felt that we could do a service as an outdoor environmental education center and a destination for school field trips.
Mm-hmm.
And we have just since the day we opened our doors been so blessed with all of our supporters. The community has been great, and we have really been getting very busy with all of our environmental education programs. Last year, we educated over 7,000 children. So we're very proud of that.
Yeah, that is so amazing.
It is amazing. I'm very proud of my staff and everybody who works here, and it's become a big family. A lot of our people that have worked here have been here for years. And, you know, being a community environmental education center, a lot of our visitors come back time and time again. And we've gotten to see a lot of our visitors grow up and actually have children.
Oh, that is so cool to see the kids that have come back with their kids. That's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And we've actually become a great tourist destination also.
Yes.
Last year, we did some research, and we actually about 80% of our visitors come from out of town, which we consider more than 30 miles away. And about 40% of them mm-hmm. come from out of the state, whether it's from Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. We have people that come down for the weekend all the way from North Carolina.
Wow. That is so awesome. Well, tell us, how did Tigers for Tomorrow get started?
Well, I started working with predators in 1995 and 1997. I was working for a big cat sanctuary, and I kind of found out that it wasn't all that it was made out to be. And I wanted to start mm-hmm. my own facility. And so in 1999, I started Tigers for Tomorrow. And in the beginning, a lot okay. of people had questioned our name and was I a breeding preserve? And I was at that time trying to explain to them that we are not a breeding preserve, that our goal was preservation of the species mm-hmm. and to be able to take in big cats and have them stay with us for the rest of their lives and care for them during their geriatric years. And we have done that successfully for years now. You know, I never really thought as a child, and people always ask me, did you grow up and want to be with tigers? And, you know, my first love, my passion is horses, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of strange to be caring for all these predators when I started out with hoofstock and I started out with equines. But I think every animal has a place in my heart that lives here. And I think every animal species is unique in its own way and deserves to be respected and deserves to have dignity. And we try to be here to provide that for them.
Yeah, that is so cool. Well, as an exotic animal preserve and rescue, where do your animals come from?
Well, you know, that's funny. We don't really get into that when we're talking to our guests or our visitors. Over the mm-hmm. years, I found that a lot of facilities will make up some very harsh and sad stories about where the animals yeah. came from to try to get donations out of people. I can tell you that right. our animals have come from all different situations. And mm-hmm. that some of them have come in not so good situations. And some of them have just come in great shape, but something has happened in their life. Maybe they lost yeah. their job. Maybe they lost their owner. Mm-hmm. There has been a lot of controversy over the years where people have been led to believe that there's 7,000 big cats in the U.S., 10,000 cats in the U.S. in the hands of private owners. And that's simply just not true. We have recently mm-hmm. done a census that has been peer reviewed. And when I say recently, I mean the industry, not me. And it's been peer reviewed. Mm-hmm. We only have about 1,300 to 1,400 tigers in the U.S. right now, which is barely enough for a genetic gene pool to keep the species going.
Okay.
So when you say, where do we get our animals? They come from all different situations. I don't like to get into any sad stories over them. Sometimes the laws have changed in the states, and that has been something that has been going on for probably about almost the last decade. And steel, as you know, and everything has went up in price in our world. And a lot yeah. of people cannot afford to keep these big cats in their facilities anymore, or people have gotten old sometimes. So we've taken mm-hmm. animals from them. The Big Cat Safety Act went through at the end of December this past year. And the Big Cat Safety Act, which we believe in and we back 100% the basis of it, which is nobody should have a big cat without a USDA permit. However, we're going to find out real soon that there's not that many big cats in private owners' hands.
Yeah.
When it comes to the smaller cats, the lynx, the bobcats, the servals, I think it's probably a different situation. We have gotten some smaller animals in from private owners. And unfortunately, those owners did not have the knowledge or the means to keep them and tried to keep these wild animals in their house. And we don't believe in wow. that in any way at all. So yeah it's a very controversial industry right now. And so mm-hmm. we like to just say that once they get here, we feel that our job is to educate our visitors. We like to turn our visitors into students, and we really feel that it's necessary to educate that these animals are not much different than us. They have the four basic primary mm-hmm. instincts that we all have, which is territory, mm-hmm. self-preservation, food, and relationships. And whenever you get in the way of one of those instincts, something dangerous can happen, whether it be a human, a dog, a cat, or any other type of animal.
Yeah.
We also like to talk about animal behaviors when people are here, especially when they're taking our tours. A lot of times the cats will come out and do a stinky face, which is actually called a phlegming. And that's when they smell something that doesn't smell very good to them. the guests love that. We love to be able to be right there, immersed in the whole preserve when we're doing a tour. And a lion roars, and you know, it's a great time to talk about how they can roar and why other cats can purr, and a lion's roar goes for 5 miles. So those are the things we think are really important. And we feel that it's important also that all of our guests feel like each one of these animals are individuals, because they really are. Each animal that yeah. lives here, we know their personality, we know their likes and their dislikes. And once a guest gets to know an animal by its name, I think that animal has kind of moved into its heart, and they're more likely to kind of take what we're teaching them here and maybe apply it to their everyday life.
Yeah, I've actually got a magnet on my refrigerator from one time when I visited that has Amelia, the tiger, on it. So I see her every day. Yeah, and I think about Amelia.
She's a great little tiger. She sure is.
Yeah, that is so cool. I love that. Because I mean, you know, you think about like we give our pets names, and I love how y'all give names to the tigers and lions and everything. That's so cool.
Well, isn't it funny how we can give our dog a name and nobody ever questions is the dog smart enough to learn its name? But I can't tell you how often visitors come in here and say to me, a big cat really knows its name, or a wolf really knows its name. And I'm like, well, yes, they're very intelligent animals. You know, and even working with some of the cats from the outside of their enclosures, guests are just flabbergasted to see them be able to lay down or to be able to sit or, you know, to do natural behaviors when the keepers are asking them to. And, you know, it's really quite funny because they're very intelligent animals. All animals are intelligent, but I really feel like the predators are very intelligent.
Which would make sense. I mean, if they're out hunting for food and survival, I mean, it would make sense that they're highly intelligent.
Yeah, they have to be in the wild. And, you know, a lot of people are always thinking that they're great hunters. And what's really interesting is a tiger only is successful on about 10% of its hunts. So they've got to be able to think about what's going on. No, and again, this leads us to a whole nother discussion about captivity, because everybody says to us, well, you only have a 6,000 square foot enclosure, which is much bigger than a lot of enclosures that animals are in. And we explain to them that a tiger only gets 10% of its hunt. So it's constantly out there. It's constantly thinking about how it's going to survive. It's constantly hunting. It's constantly roaming and looking for its prey, right? But here at Tigers for Tomorrow, we take all of those basic needs away from the animals. So they basically have a chef that delivers them their food every day, and it's raw meat. And we go through between 800 and 1,000 pounds a day. Wow. It could be chicken, beef, pork, venison. Each animal gets vitamins on their meal and calcium. And then our older animals have their own vitamin regimens even. However, we're giving them everything they need. So they have a chef that brings them their food. We lock them down in their holding every day. We don't go in with them during this time. We go in and clean so that they have a maid and we take care of their lawn and all of their maintenance. And then after they go out and eat, they get some sort of enrichment. So, you know, usually they're running around and playing with that enrichment. So we take away all of those wild needs. But when we do that also, we have to give them enrichment so we don't see any stereotypic behaviors of stress. We don't want them to be bored. So our lives are mainly catering to all the needs of these guys, but they no longer need to have all of that room because now they have what they need. And tigers are so much, and big cats are so much like our house cats. So many of their behaviors are the same or very close to each other. So, you know, as they get older, they want to lay in the sun and they want to sleep 16 to 20 hours a day. You know, they really kind of mimic our old house cats that are laying around being happy fat cats.
I think these tigers have a better life than I do, honestly. I mean, a chef, a maid, someone to do their lawn, like I need to sign up for this program.
You know, I always tell our keepers here that we can't spoil them too much in captivity.
Yeah.
If it's our responsibility to care for them, then let's just go all the way out and spoil them and give them everything that they need. And really, absolutely, one of the things that I take a lot of pride in is the care of our older animals, our senior animals. Because if you think about it, a lot of people have come here over the years. We've been here 18 years now. And they'll see an older animal that might be limping a little bit or a little bit arthritic or a little thin. Well, when you're at a big zoo, these guys only display the best of their specimens. These are beautiful young animals out on display. So when you're here, you know, right now we have four tigers that are 18 years old. And a lot of times I try to explain to people, well, you don't see old animals on display in our bigger zoos. However, here, you know, you will see them on display and they will be here for all of their life. So a lot of people will question our care and we don't mind that at all. A lot of times we'll put up signs saying, you know, this is one of our old ladies. She does have arthritis. She's under a doctor's care. I love to be there for them because I feel so many animals in the end of their life are disregarded and not cared for properly. So here, that's one of the things that, you know, we really pride ourselves on.
Yeah. So what is a typical lifespan for a tiger? I mean, is it kind of like a domestic cat? I know sometimes, like, I've got a cat that's almost 17 years old.
A typical lifespan is around that age. Okay. Our oldest tiger has been 23. Our oldest lion's been 21. But anywhere between 16 and 20 years, depending on, you know, where they were born and how they were fed during out their life, what their nutrition has been, what their vet care has been.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the educational programs. You mentioned you had, what, 7,000 students who've come in. What are some of those educational programs like?
Well, there's two ways, basically, you can come and see the preserve. You can do an informal walkabout, where you go down into the preserve and each enclosure has the animal's name, it has its species, and then it has a fact about the animal. And as you walk through the preserve, we also have sketchings of what the skeletons of the animals would have. So there is a educational opportunity to come in here, take your time with your family, walk around, read the signs, watch the keepers be able to feed the animals, and ask questions. We're always around to ask questions. Or you could take a formal tour, which we could either do a private tour. We do so many school field trips, and our homeschool groups, they just love to come in here also. And we have a great educator who is able to really connect with the young children and the older children at the same time. But when they are on the tour, we're talking about the four basic instincts. We're talking about what's going on with these particular species in the wild and conservation efforts that are being made. And we talk about our specific conservation efforts that we are working on now with different cats. Also, while you're on this tour, we will call out behaviors as we see them. And the tour takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then, of course, we have a pavilion here at the preserve where you're welcome to bring a picnic. And we have a farmyard where you can go up to a fenced area. And if the animals want to come up and visit with you, they can. And that's a safe situation because those are all farm animals that are up there. So, you know, there's different ways that you can decide to visit the preserve. And we are also open to customizing a tour for anybody that wants something different. Some people call and say, we just want a tour about wolves. And we can do that now. We have over 30 wolves. We have a new wolf annex. We are putting together a 2-hour workshop that we're going to have back in that area where the people come and just deal with talking to us about wolves and wolf dogs and what is the difference between them. How can we tell the difference between them? What is their behaviors? And we will also be talking about wolves and conservation of what's going on in the wild and how important they are to our ecosystem here in the United States. So we have lots of different ways that you can come and have an educational opportunity here.
That is so cool. I love that you can specialize your tour too. I mean, that I see that being very beneficial to school groups and homeschool groups if you're studying a particular animal. That's neat.
We also offer that they can become a guardian angel to any of the animals when they're here. That helps support our animals. It helps support the maintenance of our habitat, purchasing enrichment and toys for them, their vitamins and their supplements. You know, we're very lucky. We get probably 99% of the food for the predators donated.
Oh, wow.
This time of year is a great time of year. As you know, hunting season's about to start. So our hunters are all cleaning out their freezers.
Yeah.
And they're bringing us all of their deer meat. So the animals really enjoy to have a variety. And we do, one of the new things that in the industry they're trying to promote is some whole food too. So some of our smaller animals are getting whole food items when we're closed. So you don't have to worry if you're coming out, you're not going to see us feeding, you know, our smaller cats, little rabbits or anything like that. And everything that we feed, we never, ever, ever, everybody that's listening, please do not ask me to put a live animal into an enclosure. You can't believe how many times people will ask me to do that. Going back to what we said earlier, that a tiger only gets 10% of its hunts. These animals here, they've never been wild. They don't know how to hunt. They don't know how to go after something. Yeah. It would be so unfair for an animal to ever be in an enclosure and be hunted. We have never done that. We will never do that. So Again, yeah. Even though we are feeding meat out and things like that, we do respect all animals and we would never do that.
That's awesome. So what other wildlife preservation organizations do you work with?
Currently, I am vice president of the Feline Conservation Foundation, which is a foundation that works with educating young keepers. We also do a lot with mm-hmm. conservation, and through that organization, Tigers for Tomorrow is working with a group with jaguars called Species, and we make donations to that group. We are also working with a group called the Joffrey Cat Working Group. And Joffrey Cats are one of the smallest wild cats. They're between 6 and 9 pounds. Mm-hmm. And they're oftentimes overlooked. You know, a lot of the big fundraising wildlife foundations are looking at the big five, and that's who they want to support. And they're forgetting about the little guys. So Tigers for Tomorrow mm-hmm. Is supporting Joffrey Cats. And we support a group okay. down in South America that goes out and actually puts tracking collars on them, gives them inoculations, because a lot of times the local cats and dogs can transmit diseases to some of the wild animals. And we are also getting ready to unfold a master plan where we will be raising money to open a research center, as well as intern housing and a rehabilitation center down in South America. And we will be involved with multiple other groups raising funds for that project.
Okay.
And lastly, I guess we can lead into this now, but we now have, as I believe, the only cheetah in Alabama.
Oh, wow.
We have been inspected by the SSP, which is the Species Survival Plan. And they have approved us, and through the AMP, which is a breeding program through the ZAA, we received a cheetah, and her name is Duma.
Oh,
and we yeah. are going to be this Sunday, actually for the first time, we're having a conservation fundraiser, and somebody from the Cheetah Outreach Foundation in Africa is coming to do an hour talk about his foundation, and then we are going to go down and introduce Duma, our new cheetah, to the folks that are attending the cheetah talk.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it is so very exciting. We'll be supporting the Cheetah Outreach Foundation also.
Okay.
I feel it's so important when you have these guys in captivity and you're teaching people about them that you support some type of conservation efforts. And mm-hmm. give back a little bit. You know, we're blessed. I still feel blessed every day yeah. doing what I'm doing and to walk among these animals. And I feel like it's so important to have gratitude for everything that goes on here at the preserve. You know, how many people get to get up and hear lions roar every day, or, you know, the wolves howl. It has been an amazing life, and I'm living the dream. It's great. But even our visitors, when they come, you know, occasionally, I don't know if Malia, when you've been here, if you've ever experienced it, but sometimes the cats will turn around and go to spray the visitors. And if they don't get out of the way in time, you know, you've got to kind of be like, well, how many people in the U.S. today have been sprayed by a lion? You know, that lion just claimed his territory. So, you know, it's interesting for the visitors sometimes when they're here too. A couple weeks ago, I took one for the team and was doing a lion talk to a bunch of third graders, and he turned to spray them, and I jumped in front, and oh my God, I was soaked, and they thought that was the funniest thing in
goodness.
The world. So you never know what might happen when you're visiting Tigers for Tomorrow.
I gotta say, I have never been sprayed by a tiger or a lion while I visited there. Thank goodness. But it would be quite the story to tell if I had, though, for sure.
Years ago, we had this old lion called Mr. Lion, and people still come and ask if he's here, because by noon, he would have sprayed five people. Like, we always say that the animals in the preserve have their own job. Well, his job was to spray people, and it got so bad. that I had to make up magnets that said gotcha with his picture on it. And we would be like, okay, it's noon and he's got five people already today. So he's got to be getting tired of soon. And, you know, he thought it was funny.
That is hilarious that they have their own little personalities and like, hey, this is what I do. This is what the people came to see.
Yep. I would always stand there when they'd say to me, where is Mr. Funny. Lion? As soon as they'd ask that, I'd be like, oh no, it's another person that heard.
You're like, oh man, okay, let's go see him. Oh goodness. Well, what sort of community impact have you seen from the preserve?
When we first got here to Alabama, we were looking at what we wanted to be and who we wanted to be. And one of our goals was to be one of the best outdoor environmental education centers in northeastern Alabama. And I believe that we are right up there with the best of them.
Yeah.
We see over 30,000 people a year come through the gates. And so many of the people that come through the gates will say to me, you know what? I've brought my grandchildren here, but my kids won't go any place with me, or my teenagers won't go any place with me, but my whole family will come here. And that to us means that we're getting the family back together and we're getting them out in nature. And, you know, really a great time and a time that we see this happening and exploding is during December, January, and February. We do a promotion called Goodwill to All, where all of our admission is $5 a person.
Okay.
And we have families coming in that are not only bringing their teenage kids that wouldn't go out to dinner with them last night, but they're bringing their extended families, the aunts, the uncles, the nieces, and they're all getting out for the day. They're out in nature. They're asking questions. They're learning about wild animals and able to take that information home and hopefully use it in our local area. So as an environmental education center, I think we're doing our job by immersing everybody in an outdoor experience where they can get up close with nature, up close to 9 different species of big cats and gray wolves and black bears and brown bears, and learn about them and have fun and create memories. And it's not through their phone. It's up close and personal.
Yeah, out in nature. I love that. That's so cool. So what has been something unexpected that has happened to you or you've experienced through being a part of Tigers for Tomorrow over the years?
I'm going to turn it around just a little bit because when we got here, the initial plan was for me to continue writing grants and not be on property, and for my husband, who is my partner and the director of animal care, to run the property. From the day that we got here, we have been welcomed into this community. And from the day that we have opened, we have just been so overwhelmed by the visitors and the guests that have come in. And starting with 30 animals, I have never imagined that I would be sitting here today with over 170 animals, 8 species of big cats, 30 gray wolves, bears, hyenas, foxes, just all of these animals, and that we are knowledgeable and able to keep them all happy and healthy. It has been such an incredible ride. And when I look around and I see what the community and our supporters have done over the years, we now have a new quarantine. We now have a wellness center if these animals get sick or it gets cold like it did last year. We now have public restrooms and not porta-johns. We now have an event building. We have grown into something that in my wildest dreams, I never imagined having. And I don't want to say having because it has been amazing. And Alabama is home. And it has been just an incredible journey to get to where we are. And the fact that so many of our supporters are taking that journey with us. And when, like last weekend, we have a workshop and I walk out and I see somebody there that has supported us for years and I know her by name, I'm living the dream. And I never imagined doing that. It's been unexpected to me. And, you know, Alabama is definitely my home. I love this area. The people around here are great. And we are just so happy to be able to call ourselves the Community Environmental Education Center and to be able to say that we are a wild animal preserve that is one of the premier preserves in the entire country. And this year we won Best Zoo for Alabama Magazine. So I'm really proud of what we've been able to do here. I'm proud of our keepers. I'm proud of all the volunteers and interns that we've had. And, you know, I just really never expected to have the successes that we've had over these years. So thank you, everybody who has come here. The gratitude that we have for everybody that has helped us has just been amazing. We have great vets. I mean, you have to realize when I left Florida to move up here, I didn't know a single person, but we had been destroyed in Florida by four hurricanes. And I really wanted to get the animals to a safe place. And after looking at four other locations, picking this location was probably one of the best decisions I'll ever make in my life. And we're not planning on going anywhere, and we're just going to keep getting better. And yes, it was totally unexpected, but we're here and we're going to take it on and we're going to give Alabama the best we got.
What an amazing answer. I love that. Every bit of it. It kind of brought a little bit of a tear to my eye too, just to hear the, you know, how amazing, how much more amazing it was than what you could have even imagined. So that's so cool. Well, before we go, we always ask our Facebook followers what questions they want asked. And so the winning question is, how much meat does a tiger eat in a day?
Okay, that's an easy one. Phew, I was nervous. So at one sitting, a tiger can eat up to a quarter of its body weight.
Wow.
So let's say we have a 400-pound tiger. During the course of a week, it would get 100 pounds. And if we're feeding 5 days a week, it would get approximately 20 pounds. Depending on the metabolism and age of that tiger, we would go slightly up or slightly down from there, but it would be about approximately 20 pounds a day.
Oh my goodness. That is crazy. 20 pounds a day. That is awesome.
And to this day, when I'm feeling good and I can get out there, one of my favorite things to still do is to go out and be on a feed team.
That would be really neat. Well, it has been so amazing to talk to you. I could keep talking to you. I still have more questions that we could ask. Maybe we need to do a part two about this. But before we go, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and your website.
Well, we are on Facebook as Tigers for Tomorrow and Untamed Mountain. And our website is tigersfortomorrow.org. We are open all year long on Saturday and Sunday with additional hours throughout the spring, fall, and summer, and of course on holidays. And if you watch our social media pages, we have lots of workshops that we do. We do night tours. We've had times where we've lit the whole park up in fairy lights in the evening. We do date night, sunset tours, and family workshops. There is a lot going on up here at the mountain. And the lions are roaring, the wolves are howling, the mountain's calling. Come on out.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you so much for having me.
North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.